This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hello. Thank you for going to the Les Schwab Twires.
Twires?
I don't know. Hello. We appreciate you going to the Les Schwab.
Why can't you say tires?
Vive Clicquot. It's the same
thing. Just say tires.
Where do we pick up from? Hi, everyone. You're listening to the Sinner and the Saint podcast. I'm Luke Anderson.
I'm Will Darkins, and this is sponsored by Les Schwab Tires. Is that right?
I think so.
Okay.
Yep. Enjoy.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Spectacled drifter, Will Duckins, on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, happy Saturday. We made it to another show. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Oh, feel good. That's quite the Sports Center update. You got golf. Baseball, soccer. Man, there's everything in there. How about the Mariners? Five in a row. They had a little tough road trip there against the Yankees and the Red Sox, but they bounce right back. They sweep the Orioles. Complete game by Marco Gonzalez. I know you, as the newest Mariners fan, Will Darkins, you're excited about that.
Oh, you know, I'm excited, but the only other thing I could be more excited about is the fact that ESPN has now been in their, I think it's 19th hour of wall-to-wall, what will LeBron James do?
Buddy,
this is wall-to-wall coverage. They got some good-looking guy in a suit up on a video board right now. It's not Brian, because
you said good-looking guy. I mean, who else would it be?
I said Woj? Good-looking guy, not collection of tires.
Pretty good visual image there.
I mean, he's a collection of tires. Either that,
he's like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man as he's melting.
Yeah, or the Michelin Man. That too. Yeah. Like, he's in mid-melt. He's been in mid-melt for, like, 10 years.
Yeah, he's your marshmallow man that you left out in the sun a little too long.
Now, Brian Windhorst became popular because somehow he became friends with LeBron James. I know he covered him.
Covered him when he was in high school.
Yeah.
Covered him when he was in high school.
But, like, he really cultivated a relationship with him that, you know, they trust each other now.
I suppose.
Well, LeBron James told him that he had broken his hand during the NBA Finals, but entrusted that Brian Windhorst wouldn't tell anyone about it before the last game.
Oh, so good. Influence the reporters that's good. I'm going to keep this a secret from you. So he's got his own mouthpiece out there running around ESPN.
Well, it would be a mouthpiece if Brian Windhorst's mouth was actually didn't have food in it all the time.
Because he's fat. I don't think I've ever seen him eat food. That's an unfair characterization.
That's just actually really true. I've never seen Brian Windhorst
eat
food.
He may not even eat food. I assume he just has a gravy IV hooked up all
the
time.
How the hell is he so large?
I just said, don't step on the joke. He has a gravy IV hooked up all the time. It's just off camera. If you'd have waited for it, that's pretty...
Gravy IV?
Butter!
His blood type is Ragu.
Yeah, Doc, I think the gravy's kind of uneven. I need some more biscuit pills. Do you think at Thanksgiving, he just, like, they make him a separate turkey?
I don't think we need to make fun of the poor man's weight. So if he's a fine reporter.
It's friggin' obvious. Like, he looks worse every year.
Yeah, but he also, I don't think that's an easy job to have.
No, of course it's not.
To keep LeBron's secrets.
It's even harder.
The secret keeper. You know what all the weight is? It's just LeBron's secrets. It's everything that he knows about LeBron is what's weighing him down.
Just munching
him up. It's not food at all. No, he's overwhelmed, and everything that he's hanging on to is LeBron's secrets. That'd be a lot of weight to carry around. You couldn't do it. You couldn't handle it.
Hell no, I couldn't.
I know. That's what I'm saying. So France is going to win, so you said?
Yeah, they're about to.
This is where soccer and the World Cup gets at least interesting to me, because at least there's a consequence to losing. Did you catch any of the big controversy around Japan's final game of the group stage?
No. Oh, Japan's still in it?
Yeah, I guess they're still in it. Well, they won by what they call the fair play rule, where they went to a tie with Senegal. They tied in all the first, eight tiebreakers or whatever. So they went to who got more penalties. So if you had more, Senegal had more yellow cards and red cards accumulated. So Japan got to go through. But people accused Japan of not trying to.
Oh, right. Win. Yeah.
They just sat in the back and just passed the ball around. So nobody got a penalty and they didn't score.
Yeah,
and they
both
didn't
do anything. The teams had an understanding.
Yeah. They did like the four corners thing and just stood there and just passed the ball back and forth. And people got mad.
Freaking
at them.
Awesome.
Yeah. That now at least there's consequences. You have to win or lose. So this is where I'm okay with it. I'm probably still not going to watch any of it, but at least I'm okay with it.
That would be a dream for me if I was on one of those teams.
Just be one of the guys they put in. Yeah. Like you're the stall guy.
For an hour, I get to go play tiddlywinks out there.
At the end of the bench, they're like, oh, looks like they're going to the stall tactic. Here comes Darkins off the bench. Just runs out there and passes it in the backfield for 2.5 hours.
Dude, if I got out there, I would be running my ass off.
You would
for
be,
like the first 10 minutes, and then I'd just throw up.
You'd be Bo Jackson running out the clock on Tecmo Bowl. Well, you'd be.
Hey, that reminds me of a poll we have up.
Yeah, we'll get to that a little bit later. But we do owe to our audience, we have people that listen to this show as their exclusive avenue for all of the sports news that they need to know. And we promise to bring them that every week in a segment we call In Case You Missed It. Very happy to be here. In case you missed it this week, Tim Tebow was named to the Eastern League All-Star team after a solid start in his season for the New York Mets AA affiliate, the Binghamton Rumble Ponies.
Binghamton.
To celebrate, he fed the entire crowd of 5,289 at the Rumble Ponies Friday night game against the Portland Sea Dogs using just 5 barley loaves and 2 fish.
Wow. You know, that's going to really alienate our Christian listenership.
Why? They love Tim Tebow.
Yeah, that's a reference to Jesus feeding people crackers and juice, right?
No, I mean, that's from the Bible. It's 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And he used it to feed 5,000 people. And that's the actual attendance from the Rumble Ponies game on Friday night, too. Just so you know. I research my jokes.
Well done.
Yeah, I do what I can. In case you missed it this week, James Harden became the first NBA MVP to dress like a cow in public.
Yeah.
Did you catch that?
I don't know what the hell he was wearing. Which, by the way,
like, everybody knows he's winning the MVP. Yeah. He's going through his closet going, honey, where's that thing, that cow suit that I have? I need to wear it. I'm winning a big award tonight.
Didn't he bring his mom on stage?
I didn't watch it. Did you actually watch?
I watched clips. I wanted to see the speech, I guess. I don't know.
No.
James Harden to me is just not the MVP.
No, he's not. Well, Kyrie Irving said as much. He said that he's the people's MVP, but the NBA MVP is LeBron James.
Yeah.
And it should be every year. They should just have a trophy that is LeBron James and they give it to LeBron James.
Yes, it should be like holding office for government. Like,
yeah, your MVP until somebody knocks you off.
Yeah, until somebody can get elected.
I actually kind of like that. It's like a dictatorship where it's like somebody has to go and kill you.
Yeah.
King of the mountain.
That seems a bit extreme.
Oh, did I go overboard? In case you missed it, at the NBA awards ceremony, one thing that did actually happen is cameras caught Bill Russell extending his middle finger in an obscene gesture directed at Charles Barkley.
Oh.
Bill Russell later clarified that the sign was not one middle finger, but it was both. And it was not inappropriate. It's just a way that he reminds guys with no rings that he has 11.
It's a legacy burn.
Wouldn't that be the way?
Legacy burn.
If I had 11 championships, I would just go around double middle fingers all the time.
So wait, I don't get it. Does he have something against Charles Barkley?
No, apparently this is what he does to everybody. He throws up the bird. Charles Barkley said he was trying not to laugh because he was so honored. Oh. He considers Bill Russell a mentor and he flips him off in the middle of the speech. I don't think cameras were supposed to catch it. It was just, hey, Charles, this is for you.
Yeah, I kind of missed that.
Bill Russell runs around flipping the bird to everybody as like a polite, like, How do you do?
He's doing old man very well, because that's what you dream of as an old man, that you become so lucid that whatever you do is okay.
Yeah. Speaking of old men with middle fingers, in case you missed it, Argentinian soccer legend Diego Maradona was caught on camera with two raised middle fingers. Maradona later clarified that his hand sign meant exactly what you think it meant.
I don't get that.
You catch his? Oh, well.
Did he have a stroke?
No, he threw up the middle fingers like... F you to the world.
I was paying attention more that he had a heart attack.
Oh, he did. Well, no, he passed out from drinking too much white wine.
Was that really it?
Yes.
That was the medical part?
Did you follow? Oh, yeah. We talked about this on primetime. I filled in with Souk on, I think, Wednesday. Yeah, he got drunk on white wine and passed out. The paramedics had to come in, and then they had checked out because he's a, you know, drunk old man. They had to check out all his facilities. He was fine. Just got a little wasted.
See, I don't know if he's old manning very well.
No, he's doing it terribly.
It's not... A drunk old man and funny old
and
man.
An angry drunk old man, too. But, yeah, he was up yours to everybody in the stadium when Argentina scored. Because Argentina was on the cusp of getting eliminated, too.
Well, they are now.
Yeah.
I just said it.
I know. I'm watching the highlights. I've got it on the television. They're really? Done. 4-2.
I got Animal Planet on.
Yeah. In case you missed it from the World Cup, Germany was eliminated in the group stage. Apparently, this is a very big deal, at least so I'm told, from everyone with a foreign accent.
For sure thought you were going to make a World War II joke.
I was going to go World War II joke, but I just like how, like, every time somebody's telling me how important this is, they've got an accent.
Yeah.
Everybody with an accent knows how big of a deal this is. Americans are like, whatever. But what do you make the thing?
But what do you think they think when we're talking about what team LeBron James is going to play for? They're probably like, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, why are you concerned? It's going to happen either
way. I wonder
way.
How far this story goes. Because outside of the U.S., do people, like, care? Know that we're talking about it?
Oh, know that this is like a, do this they, is like the biggest they, story in sports right now?
Yeah, do they even know it's a thing?
No.
Okay. Mexico was the beneficiary of Germany's poor performance in the World Cup, and South Korea was the team that played spoiler. Following South Korea's 2-0 victory over Germany, Mexicans were so happy with the South Koreans, they partied together in a shared celebration. Meanwhile, back in the U.S., I ate 2 Korean tacos from the Koi Fusion food truck. I didn't even realize that I was celebrating in harmony with them, but I was like, oh, Korean tacos, that sounds good. And then Mexico and Korea merged.
I don't think you celebrated. I think you were just hungry.
I did. I just wanted the taco. This is me and how I participate. In case you missed it this week, Arizona Diamondback pitcher Archie Bradley shared a story about pooping his pants moments before he had to go into a game for a quote-unquote relief appearance.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. He said, thank you.
That's good.
He said it was only slightly more embarrassing than having to play for a team that calls themselves the D-backs.
Coughing guy didn't like that one. Didn't you guys talk about pooping your pants this past week? Something?
Yeah, we had to. Yeah. Extensive. I think everybody did. I mean, I think Dirt and Sprague's entire show was pooping their pants.
Well, yeah. One of the, you and I have talked about this pretty extensively, actually, a lot of times.
We've definitely discussed it.
We've talked about this a lot about, well, if you crap your pants at work, like, what do? You tell anybody? And your whole theory is like, no, I just tell someone I feel terrible and I have to go home right now.
Yeah, just go home.
You don't even tell anyone?
No. See ya.
Where were you yesterday? Oh.
Had a meeting. Don't worry about it. Had a thing that I needed to do.
Oh, great. I'd love to see those meeting notes.
Oh, yeah. Well, I told the story on primetime. I had a buddy that pooped his pants at work and had a brown spot. And his tactic was, if anybody asked him, he'd just tell them he pooped his pants and they wouldn't believe him. And it worked.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, did you actually hear any of this interview with Archie Bradley?
No.
So he's talking about, he goes, yeah, I told everybody that happened and I had to go to the game and nobody believed me. He's like, I kept telling him, I'd be like, yeah, check and see if there's a spot on my pants, because he's going into a baseball game. And he had what they call a clean inning. He got everybody faced out.
Well played.
It's true. In case you missed it this week, Jalen Rose and Chris Webber are still very annoying people. Jameis Winston is a terrible person, and ESPN the magazine showed a bunch of beautiful naked people.
I got to tell you, God, there's some hot athletes.
I know.
Like, really hot.
Yes.
Like, did you see Saquon Barkley?
That's not the one that I was thinking of.
Dripping wet. Hot.
Saquon Barkley's not going to spend any of his money from his NFL contract.
No, he's not, and I love that. Yeah, that's like
he's buying his parents' house.
And smartest financial thing.
I don't think he's the first guy to do that, but yeah, he's only going to spend endorsement money, which he's going to get a lot of.
The Marshawn Lynch theory, that's what he did.
Yeah, he's a he is a good-looking guy, and he looks very chiseled in the buff. But he's also, he seems very charismatic. That guy's going to have a ton of endorsements, especially being in New York. You don't think?
No, he seems like one of those guys who's really, really nice and really, really great. But like if you put him in a commercial, it would be really, really unentertaining.
Like Tiki Barber?
Like Steph Curry.
Like Tiki Barber.
Like Tiki Barber, too.
Well,
Steph Curry is totally that way. Like, have you seen Steph Curry's new commercial for Infinity?
He's still getting them, though. You know what I mean?
But he's like, so unappealing.
I understand. To you? To me, maybe? I don't know. I like
but
him.
Aren't we in the market like to buy Infinities? Boat. Like, he's in an Infinity commercial where he's, like, acting like he's a really huge BA, and then, like, it's cuts to a scene of him picking out milk.
Better commercial, him picking out milk or the Matthew McConaughey Lincoln ads.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's pretty easy.
So, again, I don't know what—
Matthew McConaughey.
You know, is that the one?
Easy.
Where he's sitting there talking to the Longhorn Bull. in case you missed it, this week, every single person with access to the internet in the entire world published at least one article guessing where LeBron James will go. And Will read every single one of them.
I did.
You did.
Totally engrossed in it.
You're so compelled by this. And finally, in case you missed it this week, the Oregon State Beavers won the College World Series. They beat the Arkansas Razorbacks twice after dropping game one of the series, the best of two out of three final. And if you're counting... that is one more win than their football team got the entire season.
No, I don't like that one.
We start with Will's Oregon State Beavers winning the championships. That is next. Center and Saint, 1080 The Fan. All right. You're a Beaver. Anybody that doesn't know, Will's a Beaver. He played for the Beavers, played fullback back in the aughts.
I played what?
Fullback?
Oh, right. I played fullback back in the aughts.
Back in the aughts.
Wait, what did I play?
Is that accurate? What? How many times did you hit your head doing that?
My what?
Yeah. Played a human battering ram.
It's a friggin' awful position.
Well, it was. It's where you put the guy that isn't quite the linebacker you thought you recruited, right?
You put the stupidest guy who wants playing time at fullback.
Okay. And then you go, hey, run your head into those guys.
Yeah.
Those
Throw
people.
Your body into people.
Yeah, so your alma mater had quite the week. You okay with this?
I don't know. I'm torn on this.
So for anybody that doesn't know, the Oregon State Beavers won the baseball national championship, and it's the only excuse to watch baseball is to have a local team go and play in the championship. They got a bit of luck when with two outs in the ninth inning and a one-run deficit, you had Arkansas just decide not to catch a pop fly.
I don't think it was so much decide not to, just...
They couldn't decide who should.
Yeah.
Is really what it was.
Like, dude, somebody scream mine.
Yeah.
Get out. Clear.
And then in what was a great comeback and something that I think most sports fans would be very compelled by, again, had it not been the College Baseball World Series. I don't think you have a ton of eyes on, this event. I certainly never watch it unless Oregon State's playing in it.
I think there was a significant amount of eyes only because...
Locally, there certainly were.
Sure, but I think even nationally, too, because this is a weird time in sports, right? Even though you have the World Cup, it just seems like there's not a lot of interest in the World Cup this year. There's no real interest.
Well, there's no U.S. is what there is.
Sure.
The U.S. is not in the World Cup.
That's a good way to put it.
That's the best way to put it. So... Now,
and I think the storyline that attaches to this that makes this a national story is the Heimlich
element.
Yeah, the Heimlich element, the story of that. And that's where I'm conflicted about celebrating this, because, again, I go back to, do I want to celebrate my alma mater who allowed someone who, if I'm saying this right, is convicted child molester?
No, he admitted. He pled guilty to child molestation.
Yes.
It's since been expunged from his record.
But he pled guilty.
He did. He did. And this came out only because he missed a check-in with whatever, organization he needs to in the state of Washington. So this came out last season. He pled guilty to molesting a family member, a six-year-old, four and six. I think there was two.
He was 16.
Yeah, 15 or 16 years old. So anyways, you got the star pitcher, national pitcher of the year in college baseball.
Should be a first pick. Like
2 years in a row should have been, because you're eligible in college baseball. You're eligible after your junior season to be drafted to Major League Baseball. So you kind of go, you can be drafted out of high school, and then you can make the decision whether or not you want to go to whatever.
Yeah.
So he, for 2 years, he's been eligible for the draft, has not been drafted despite being one of the best pitchers in baseball. And here you have him being
historically one of the best pitchers in baseball. I mean, this guy is a surefire lottery pick, a blue chip guy. And you have something like this that not only mars his career, because he'll eventually get into the majors. He will.
You would think.
Through back channels, you know, they'll kind of, I think you were saying, which was kind of an interesting idea, send him to another country. Japan.
There's enough options for professional baseball players to go and play that he's going to get a chance somewhere, whether it's with a major league organization or going to, you know.
Yeah, it's a matter of time, just waiting for people to not necessarily forget, but to be more okay with
it. He's talented enough that somebody will take the chance and weather the PR storm. And Oregon State has done that. Oregon State, you know, he took a leave last season, but he came back this year, and they were willing to take whatever criticism they were going to get because they believe that knowing him – from having him in the organization, it was worth having him around.
Sure.
And obviously his
he's
talent,
obviously a team leader.
And obviously his talent was part of that.
Well, and I guess the most redeeming part of the whole thing is Abel.
Well, I think there's two, because
freshman pitcher just throwing the lights out.
But but you also look at Adley Rushman, who's their sophomore catcher, who was outstanding and was named MVP, the most outstanding player of the College World Series.
Set
a record for hits in it. I mean, he's fantastic. That guy will be the number one pick in next year's draft because he's not eligible this year.
But he's a friggin' sweet kicker in high school too.
Yeah, but and you have other kids that have been drafted, and you can look down the lineup that had disappointing World Series. But Abel went 4-0 in the College World Series as a pitcher, threw a complete game in the finals. I think that is the one redeeming quality about this team, is that the hero is not Luke Heimlich, and the heroes are guys that I think it's pretty easy to support in being the young guys. I mean, you had seven guys that are drafted in the first, five rounds of the Major League Baseball draft, and none of them are the heroes. You're looking at a sophomore and a freshman being your heroes for the team.
Well, and it's easy for us to root for them, too, because most of the guys on the team are local guys. I know, I think it's Jack Johnson or somebody, the guy from Lake Oswego, the guy with the guitar. Is that right?
Yeah.
It's something Johnson. I know that, but they have a guy.
It's easy to support the guys that I think is Davis.
But I remember there's a guy from Lake Oswego on there, and it's all guys that were recruited from the Northwest. And so, I mean, Pat Casey's developing a culture around there, which is that, you know, we recruit Northwest guys. We're from, you know, we are from the state itself. And I think there's something redeeming about that. And obviously everybody kind of jumps on board. It's just you have this kind of mar on the side of, oh my gosh, we're supporting a self-admitted child molester.
Yeah, it's nice that there was a story big enough, and Kevin Abel and Adley Rushman are those two guys that you look at and you look back and you go, hey, these guys really played their guts out in this. And the cool thing is for Oregon State, I think that will help them separate from the Luke Heimlich portion of this, is that both of those guys are coming back next year.
Yes.
You're going to have a team that is going to be led by guys that have experience and have won a championship. And this is now their third championship in the Pat Casey era. They won back-to-back in 2006 and 2007. So there's enough good things around Oregon State baseball that you can look at it and go, oh, yeah, I think they'll probably get through any criticism that they're getting. And I know that I got caught up in watching that final game, and I was torn throughout, but you know, you end up
that ninth inning in the second game. I mean,
even after
three was okay, but this game two was just like, oh my God, I can't believe they're pulling this off.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Late, and you need every contribution late to win game two. After game one, Heimlich had a poor performance, and you're like, all right, well, let me just check in with him in game two. And then you get the ending of game two. I watched, I think the last five innings of the final game. And I mean, Kevin Abel went out there and had, I think, 20 consecutive outs. And to finish that game, and you look at it and you're like, all right, when are they going to take this guy out? He's 100 pitches, 115 pitches. He got up to, I think, 130 pitches in the game. And you just go, holy cow, this guy was their horse as a freshman.
Retired the last 20 batters that he faced.
Yeah, there you go.
First complete game shutout where a pitcher allowed two hits or less in a College World Series history. So, I mean, I'm just going to take that storyline, run with it, and
Adley
say...
Adley Rutschman, the most hits ever in a College World Series. Like,
it's just, encouraging.
It's very good, and good for Oregon State. Congratulations to Pat Casey and his team, and it looks like they're going to be back next year with some great players.
The Better You Today text line is helping me out about my old alma mater. That's Jack Anderson. Jack Anderson.
I know for sure it's Johnson.
It's definitely Johnson.
What you said.
You know how sad that
your
is?
Words.
I went to that high school. I should be following these
kids. It's not only your high school, it's also your college.
It's my college. It's a double shaming.
If he ends up going and getting his broadcast degree from Mount Hood Community College, you're going to be just so embarrassed.
I wonder what Scotty Brown has to say about this.
Oh, I don't know. We've got some polls up. We've got some conspiracy theories or hypo. My brain just stopped working. Hypotheticals for LeBron James to get to. We will do that. But first, we need to get to the news. All right. Watching the World Cup coverage up here on the TV. And it's just idiots getting haircuts to try to look like their favorite world stars.
What channel are you watching?
I put it on, Fox? KPTV. Hot World Cup action.
Ooh.
Single elimination tournaments in any sports, I think, are fantastic. The NFL does it better than anybody. And then you've got, I would follow that by the college basketball tournament. And I'm okay with this type of World Cup. I mean, the group stage, who cares? But it's nice that they do whatever their qualifier they're going to do. Let me know when we get into the knockout stage and get people where it actually matters. When it goes down to penalty kicks at the end, it's delightful.
I got DuckTales on over here.
Do you? They still running that?
Well, it's a new version where they have the animation all updated.
That's bizarre. Like CGI?
Not quite. It's just cleaner.
I like it. I like it old and dirty.
That's what she said.
Hey-oh. Speaking of old and dirty, somehow we got talking about old video games this morning. I'm not sure what brought us onto that topic.
I don't either, really.
But we were trying to figure out what was definitively the best sports video game of our childhood, which is for our crossover age is the 90s. And so we threw it to the poll. At CenterSaint1080 is our Twitter thing. Or did you put it on the 1080 The Fan thing,
our
too?
Our Twitter thing?
Yeah. You got it.
It's retweeted on 1080 The Fan.
It's also on at 1080 Twitter. Their Twitter thing. It's there too.
All you do is pull up the internet and get on the page, and
you got it. Will, what are our two Twitter polls this morning?
Well, Luke, what I did is I got up on the internet and I typed in Twitter and I opened the box and started typing, and what we got up there is time for the time machine here. What's your favorite sports video game from the 1990s? 7% of you say NHL 95, and I've gotten some feedback that a lot of people said it should have been 94.
Well, I told you that 94 through 96 were all great for slightly different reasons.
I remember 95 the best. So that's what I threw in.
Yeah, well, and I think there's also the reference to Swingers, I believe, is 1994.
Yes, we had
where you
a
can
few
make
of those.
Make their head bleeds.
17% said Ken Griffey Jr. Baseball, which kind of surprising to me because I just played the S out of that game.
Yeah.
And then in a dead heat right now at 38% is NBA Jam and Tecmo Super Bowl.
I will say about NBA Jam, the arcade version kind of ruined me for the console version.
Yeah.
We used to go to Wonderland, the Nickel Arcade. They used to have one over in Vancouver.
Oh, yeah.
And so we'd go there and just that was the place to play it. But then when they released it on the console, I never really got into it. So arcade version NBA Jam was sweet. And there was some guy that worked there, you know, that had the wispy beard and the long hair. And
oh, you mean every guy that's ever worked at an arcade ever?
And he knows all the passcodes to get it, so now you can get the guys from Mortal Kombat playing NBA Jam or whatever it was.
Did he sell you weed, too?
That was I was 11, so...
Yeah, did he sell you weed, too?
No, he didn't, but...
Let me show you this cheat code.
Well,
have you guys ever tried black tar heroin?
I think he's selling to the older kids. I was never the one that he came out and was like, oh, Anderson's here. Let's set it up. It was always the older kids that knew. So, yes, they were buying heroin from him and playing cheat codes on NBA Jam.
What I loved about NBA Jam was the fact that the Blazers had Clyde Drexler and Cliff Robinson. And that was just a friggin' sweet setup, dude.
Yeah. Well, it's 3-on-3.
Yeah. No, 2-on-2.
Oh, you get three guys on your team, yes. 2-on-2 with three guys.
Whoever your reserve is. Yeah, and yeah. Of course, the crappiest part about it was that Michael Jordan was not in the game.
Yeah.
And that led to another discussion of the fact that Michael Jordan had put a copyright out for his likeness in any video game. So any video game, whether it be NBA Jam, NBA Live, any of them that were in the 1990s, really, and really the 2000s, Michael Jordan was not in them.
Nope.
It was player...
Yeah.
Something it was QB like player Bills. 23 or...
QB Eagles.
Yeah.
That's what it was. All right. So that was one of the two polls, but we realized that there was a second category that we needed to be reflected on here. And in the text line has already brought it up, suggesting Double Dribble. Don't worry. Double Dribble is taken care of. What's the second Twitter poll?
Our bonus poll was, what's the quote unquote best worst sports video game? And what we mean by best worst is that, we absolutely loved it, but in retrospect, it kind of sucked.
Well, but it wasn't quality controls or graphics, but it was awesome.
Everything about it sucked, but it was great.
Yeah.
11% said Mega Man Soccer, which is my personal favorite. 22% said Baseball Simulator 1000. That's NES version.
Yeah.
31% said NES Ice Hockey. And then, yes, 36% Double Dribble. Awful game.
Yes, but fantastic. The slow motion black and white pixelated dunk or whatever it was. Very similar to the Tecmo Bowl high fives. You put the original Tecmo Bowl on there. What did they play? Like 8-man football and you only had like 16 teams or something?
Yeah. And if you're Bo Jackson, you win.
Well, no, but that was. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if Bo Jackson was. Oh, I guess he was on the original. Oh, now I'd have to think about it. But the original, you were stuck with the plays that you were set. There was really like the season mode was just randomly picking guys you would play against.
Yeah.
Yeah, the original Tecmo Bowl could go on the best worst.
Also, if you were an NBA Live fan for SNES, the only really crazy thing about it was that Dennis Rodman, so it was all little pixels, right, that were playing.
Sure.
Dennis Rodman was the only distinguishable one because
green hair.
Yeah, they just put a little colored pixel on the top of his head. They're like, that's Dennis Rodman.
Yeah.
Everybody else looks the exact same.
There's a couple versions of like the college football game, like
there's Game Day,
it was, but it was like Madden, but it was not quite, but there was always a couple versions of that I really got into. And there's always one play in those games where you could just like watch the safety and he didn't do it. You just hit the guy on a slant and he'd never be
cross
caught.
Cross posts. All you had to do was run cross post because the safety would get confused about who to take. And then you just throw it to the one.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Madden, I never really fully got into. Madden's another one I know that people obviously went crazy for, but obviously it doesn't
still
fit into
today, dude.
Oh, I know, but it doesn't fit into our 90s because I think once you got into the 2000s, the graphics caught up with what he had envisioned. John Madden's a friggin' genius. I mean, that's your licensing right there. That
like, for life.
Bill Laimbeer, full contact basketball has been suggested by the text line as well. Were there any other suggestions on Twitter of games that we missed, or did we do a pretty good job picking the top?
Oh, we did an incredible job.
Look at us.
In fact, anybody else who writes in anything, they're wrong.
Excitebike as a sports game. Yes, Excitebike was awesome. Excitebike 64 wasn't bad either.
Excitebike?
Yeah, Jeffrey P1 threw it out there. Do you remember Excitebike?
No.
Oh, Excitebike? I actually recently played the NES version of Excitebike, and that was dope. And then there was a 64 version, a Nintendo 64 version of Excitebike where you could play Excitebike Soccer, and so you'd be on your bike, and it's what's the game now?
Excitebike Soccer?
Yeah, it was giant soccer ball, and you ride around. There's a game. Oh, I can't think of. I don't know. There's some now you play with cars, but my brother plays it on the PlayStation 30 or whatever is out now.
PlayStation 78.
Yeah, Rocket League. Rocket League is the game, but that was Excitebike Soccer was the same thing, and now Rocket League is like this big online community.
One I wanted to suggest was this isn't 90s; it's probably 2000s. NFL head coach. Where literally you did not play. All you did was organize teams.
You organized the team set of the playbook.
You did all the boring stuff like negotiate with prima donnas about their contract and make plays and have, you would friggin' have meetings. You would seriously, it would be the computerized version of whoever you were sitting in meetings with people. And then it would go back and forth between dialogue boxes of like, should we do this? Should we do that?
It's like a role play game.
Yeah.
Boy, that's
the
terrible.
Worst role play game ever. It really gave you the satisfaction of knowing that you don't want to be an NFL head coach because it kind of sucks.
Do you have to spend 80 hours a week playing the game like you do in real life or whatever it is? He was the first one in, the last one out. That's why Gruden was so good.
Level 30 watching film.
Sweet. All right.
Oh, tight.
Highlight your team's weaknesses.
Oh boy.
Don't forget to give your guys confidence by complimenting their good plays.
Bonus round. I get to be the coordinator for skeleton drill.
Yeah. RBI baseball is suggested on the text line. One that I thought about being in there. I'm not sure that it fell into either category, but Blades of Steel hockey. The hockey was okay, but the fighting on Blades of Steel was outstanding.
It's not bad.
It was good. Blades of Steel was
delightful. Were we supposed to talk about LeBron?
Yeah, we'll do that to start the next hour. We'll do it right after we do Good versus Evil, and Good versus Evil, of course, is next. Sinner and Saint.
Have you been too busy to keep up on sports this week?
What has happened to the? What has happened? What has happened to the national interest?
No time to form your own opinions?
I stand before you here today in the midst of gnarly times.
Well, no worries, bro. Let the Sinner and the Saint shred the gnar while you just sit back and ride the wave. It's time for Good versus Evil, brought to you by the Titan of Hawaiian Restaurants, 808 on 1080 The Fan.
I'd like to thank my family to start off with, family, friends. You know, I wouldn't be here without them. And my teammates, of course, and my great coach, and the city of Philadelphia for really embracing me.
That was 21-year-old man with a 6-year-old reading level, Ben Simmons. During Monday's second annual NBA Awards, Simmons won Rookie of the Year over Jason Tatum and Donovan Mitchell. Other awards included Jazz's Rudy Gobert winning Defensive Player of the Year honors, James Harden winning MVP, and Bill Russell winning Best Use of the Middle Finger on live TV. But let's go back to Simmons. Many people believe Tatum and Mitchell were better options because they meant more on a whole to their teams, meaning they took their teams a little bit further in the playoffs, in Tatum's case. How do you feel about the award?
That's a regular season award. I thought the big argument was that Ben Simmons should have been a rookie the year before, that he was hurt, whatever. I can go either way with it. I mean, the biggest improvement of any of those teams was obviously the 76ers and having Ben Simmons play. Makes sense, right? I mean, you go from 26 wins to, what, they win 59?
This has to be the first time you've ever recognized and celebrated the process.
Did you try to get me to celebrate the process? Was that your whole stupid goal of that?
I did.
Yeah, no, the process is still stupid. Ben Simmons is a good basketball player. If you draft good basketball players, you'll get better. That's a process everyone uses.
See, what you do is you get the good players and you put them on.
If we get better players than the other teams, we're going to be better.
You put them on the bad teams and then they get better.
Yeah, shut up.
But the bottom line is that Jerry Richardson recognizes that he's going to be a major distraction for this franchise moving forward. And rather than continue to be front and center in the spotlight for everything that's going to come up and develop with this particular story, he has made the decision to announce that he is selling this franchise at the end of the season.
That was Human Egg Timer Adam Schefter. He's talking about the fine being slapped on Carolina Panthers outgoing owner Jerry Richardson. The old white rich scoop of melting ice cream will pay $2.75 million after the NFL investigation revealed sexual and racial misconduct in the workplace. The allegations included 3 cases of sexual harassment and the use of racial slurs towards a scout. The report also says the Panthers failed to report on any of the allegations. Do you think this punishment is a little bit too weak, considering the Panthers are at fault as an organization?
I don't know, because who's punishing them?
The NFL?
The NFL commissioner's office, who is really run by the owners. And I think they're just going, hey, look, here's a gesture of punishment that we would like to do, but you don't want to set the bar too high because no owners want to get punished for any mistakes that they make. Because what do you call them? An old white rich scoop of ice cream?
Yeah, melting scoop of ice
scoop,
cream.
Melting scoop of ice cream.
Google a picture of him. He looks like melting ice cream.
You're accurate. What I'm saying is his profile pic could be exchanged for any of the other owners and you wouldn't really know the difference necessarily. No. So they all are trying to protect each other. You put it on a penalty, it's This is more public relations than actual penalty.
Yeah.
But I'll bet everything I have that it won't be perfect in 6 weeks. Is he going to play any NBA games in 6 weeks? Are there any games you know of?
Not NBA.
He's not even ready to shoot in the summer league. I don't want to hear this junk. No. Okay, Markelle Fultz has got issues.
That was one half of a brilliant sports show, Mike Wilbon. He's talking about the third act of what's quickly becoming the NBA's favorite mystery. What's wrong with Markelle Fultz? According to Fultz's new shooting coach, the rookie's shooting woes were attributable to a case of the quote-unquote yips last season. That shooting coach, Drew Hamlin, says, quote, "I thought it was going to take me at least 6 weeks before we had a serviceable jump shot, and we've already started to shoot with a jump in week two. But I think that by the end of the summer, it will be perfect," unquote. Do you buy this?
The number one overall draft pick finally learned how to jump and shoot at the same time. The process is working. The process is working.
It is working.
Dude, it's in his head. And I mean, the yips are one of those things. If you're not familiar with it, it's kind of the golfer's term when you kind of forget how to use your body. That things just stop working. All your muscle memory, all the practice you put in, you just get the yips. You just can't do it. You're fighting against yourself internally. It's such a bizarre thing. Sometimes they stick around forever. Sometimes they come and go. But it's I don't know. Markelle Fultz has definitely got something going on. I credit the Sixers with protecting him a little bit from this so that we kind of don't get a firsthand look. And the fact that the team played well hit it a little bit as well. But I really do hope he ends up being a good NBA player. He doesn't need to be great and doesn't need to live up, I guess, to the number one overall hype. But you hate to see, you know, somebody's internal struggles be the reason that they fail. And
well, I think it's interesting that so many people are quick to kind of cast him overboard.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people are talking about, like, put him on the trading block, see what happens. Because at this point, you know, he sucks. He doesn't always. It's like, well,
give him a chance.
Yeah. Just let him figure this shooting thing out.
Apparently part of the process is waiting a year before you play for the 76ers.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Everybody gets red shirt.
NBA red shirt.
Yeah, they do it.
Blake Griffin did NBA red shirt.
Bird's rights were drafted before he was done playing college basketball. So
that's true. All right. Time for my favorite story of the week. And this one actually comes from Denver. And I'm going to let the audio speak for itself on this one. Okay.
Sure.
Listen very carefully to this story. This is courtesy of CBS Channel 4 in Denver. Are you ready?
Yes.
A local artist created a mug featuring a unicorn passing gas. It's his funny take on renewable energy, but what's happening with the image is serious business. Kelly Worthman on that story tonight from Evergreen.
There is some really unique work in this Evergreen Pottery studio, but it's this mug of a gas causing a big stink.
This is a design that I've been doing since 2010.
What began as a playful poke at electric cars has turned Tom Edwards into an internet sensation.
Explain to me what the unicorn is doing.
Well, okay, this is a natural bodily function. The unicorn is farting into this container, and then it's going through a cord and powering the electric car.
The whimsical creation caught the eye of Elon Musk, the genius behind Tesla Motors. He took to Twitter about the Tudor last year.
He said it was quite possibly his favorite mug ever.
Tom says the billionaire's tweet gave him a small boost in sales.
Well, and you know, farting unicorn is sales magic.
But a couple months later, Tom got wind Tesla was using a copy of his bottom blasting unicorn to promote the car's new operating system.
The straw that broke the camel's back was at Christmas, they sent out a Christmas greeting, and it had my artwork on it.
So Tom got a lawyer to reach out to Tesla for compensation. With no response from the company, on Twitter, firing away at Elon Musk.
And said, hey, how come you're not compensating my dad?
Twitter, Elon called Tom kinda lame if he chose to sue for money, adding he's who made the mugs popular, but would stop using the unicorn if that's what Tom wants.
That's not the point. The point is they've already used it, and that's how copyright works.
Tom says he isn't sure yet how much his lawyer will seek for compensation. He just wants to defend his handcrafted creation.
Wow.
A guy.
Yeah, no, I heard the story. That's a lot of audio and very clever ways to dance around the fart. The word
passing
fart.
Wind.
Passing wind and the bottom blasting. Yeah, there's some clever clever wordplay in there.
I love that Elon Musk just went full douche and talked to the guy on Reddit and was like, if you're really that concerned about money, which I wipe my ass with, like, fine, I'll take it down.
Yeah, just because I'm a billionaire, you want money from me? This is exploitation. No, dude, you're using his artwork.
Just because I can take children from their homes and force them to develop flamethrowers.
Just because I'm spending billions to send people to Mars who are definitely going to die when they get there, you think that I've just got money to throw away?
Do you have Leonardo DiCaprio's cell phone number? Because yeah. I do.
Yeah, I do. Who doesn't?
I know.
Jeez.
It's pretty available.
All right, that's Good versus Evil, brought to you by our friends at 808, the Titan of Hawaiian Restaurants, 2454 East Burnside or 52nd and Woodstock. We're to the point in the show where we dive into what will LeBron do? Next, Center and Saint, 10 of the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.